to just come and worship, and your voice is added in. It's so powerful. Thank you. God bless you all for being here today. So we're starting this new series, DTR, Define the Relationships. Kind of a cheesy title, I get that. So the little DTR. Do you know DTR? Do you get that? Well, yeah, you get it because of that. But, it's a thing. It's a texting thing, DTR. Okay. Relationships have really struggled over the last 2 years. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. Okay. So you do know that part. All right. You see it. You feel it. You know intrinsically within you that relationships have been difficult. Friendships, family relationships have struggled over the last couple of years. Remember, 2 years ago, this week was when it all, when we learned the phrase, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. that was coming up here pretty soon, all right? Maybe it was next week, but 2 years ago. Then we all went to Zoom, right? And we were like, hey, this is cool. We got Zoom. We can see each other and we can do things via Zoom. And that lasted about a month and we were like, that's done with that. And then as things sort of got open a little bit and we started being back in connection with one another, then everything got political. Remember what everything just cut apart because of these divisions that were politically driven. And over the course of the last 2 years, we've kind of forgotten how to be able to disagree and love each other. We've forgotten how to be authentic and let others be authentic. It's okay for them to have an opinion that's different than yours. It's okay for you to have an opinion that's different than mine, even though I'm the pastor of the church. It's okay. You can have your opinion. I can have mine too. Okay? Just saying. I'm allowed to have mine too. We're seeing this kind of thing downstairs in Little Arrows Play Cafe too. People are having a harder time talking to one another and doing it nicely. People have gotten mean over the last couple years. Ask anybody in the service industry. Ask anybody who works in an airline. Ask anybody who works at a cashier or a restaurant or wherever else. People have kind of gotten mean. There's a heightened sense of selfishness. Not that we never had selfishness before, but now it's like, I'm tired of thinking about other people, so I'm going to get what's mine now, and you better deliver for it. That's kind of like the attitude that we are seeing. So Pastor Mariah Miskimmon and I, Pastor Mariah, she's at Church in the Mall. We've been talking about these things for some time. So we developed this sermon series along with topics to help us to remember what it's like to have good, authentic relationships. And we're going to cover a broad range of relationships to help us in that effort. Here's a list of those relationships that we want to share with you. The first one is God. We're going to talk about that today. Our relationship with God is foundational to all of our other relationships. We get that one right, and the other ones come along a lot easier. A relationship with ourselves. We've not remembered how to be satisfied and confident in who we are. That's gone these days. So consumption. Here, what's our relationship with consumerism? How do you do with being able to maintain a healthy balance of consuming and not being consumed by the things you consume? All right? Our relationship with believers, how do we interact with one another? And then non-believers, how do you interact with people who are not of the faith? Guess what? We need to. We still have to be in relationship with those folks. And going through this list, one of our staff people said, hey, we forgot one. What about family? So I think we're going to roll in family members into the believers and non-believers. How do we? Because in our families we have people who believe and people who don't, and then we're going to hit it great April the 10th on politics. What's your relationship with politics? And here's why we're choosing that particular topic and that day. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus had a relationship with the political figures of his day. In fact, it was the political figures of his day that ended up dictating his entire last week. Now, yes, I believe that was all ordained by God. God used those things. But he had a relationship with politics that dictated that last week. So that's the flow. Here's what I want to tell you. So I'm doing the message on God and ourselves. And then Pastor Mariah is doing consumption at her church the week we're doing ourselves here, and then we're switching. She's going to come here and talk about consumption. I'm going to go there. Carrie, are you coming too? Are you coming? I think she's going with me. We're going to go over to Church in the Mall, and I'm going to talk about ourselves over there. And we're doing the same thing with believers and non-believers. So we're going to just do we're doing a home and home, you know, like the athletic thing. So I just wanted you to know that Pastor Mariah Miskimmon will be here two Sundays, March 20th and whatever 2 weeks after that is. I don't know, the 3rd of April. Whatever, we'll get there. Don't worry. So that's the outline for the series, but then to sort of have consistent messaging between the two churches, we've got an outline for each message as well. Here's the outline for each message. God's ideal. So there is an ideal that God has put in mind for us for those relationships. And then somehow humanity always comes and disrupts it. So our disruption, and then God's redemption. God brings us back in to the fold the way he originally intended it. So that's the like sort of the threefold outline. Although today I have four points for you. So today we're talking about God. We're talking about our relationship with God. And we're going to go back to the Genesis narrative to see what happened in Genesis that was the ideal and the disruption and the redemption for that. And some folks struggle with Genesis because it doesn't fit with their science. All right? And we're going to talk about Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And it doesn't fit with their science. But there, other people struggle with science because it doesn't fit with their Genesis. Okay? So here's what happens sometimes when we start reading in Genesis. People turn their ears off automatically because it doesn't fit with their science or Genesis, you know, science doesn't fit with their Genesis. So I would like us to think about Genesis not necessarily as a science book, but a book about an intended relationship with God and humanity. That's what the Jewish people read that as. They still do. It's Jewish meditation literature. You read that and just ponder it. What does this mean about our relationship with God? So wherever you are on that, it's okay. It doesn't impact the rest of the Bible. I just don't want you to turn your ears off because I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1. Rather, just read it with relationship in mind, and let's see what God's intention for our relationship with God is. All right, here's Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So we have dominion over the bugs and the spiders. And now that it's warm out, you know, the stink bugs are coming back. You have dominion over them, okay? So just take care of them. They don't squash them, though. They stink really bad. But here's verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created humanity in God's image. This is fundamental to our relationship with God. This impacts everything in our lives. But honestly, we pay so little attention to this one huge detail about us being created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. And God is a three-in-one relationship. It says, let us create man in our image after our likeness. We call it the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's right there on page one of the Bible. God is in relationship with God's self. We too must be in relationship. Now, a lot of people will look at my children and say things like, Abby takes after you. She kind of looks like you. And Sarah seems to take after her mom. Or as my friend Paul says, your kids get all their good looks from you because Bethany still has hers. But see how we favor people. Both of my kids are unique. They're their own person, but they bear the image of their parents. I bear the image of my mother and my father and a little bit of my grandparents before me. You all bear the image of your parents and grandparents that have led to where you are now. But sometimes we don't want to live up to the image of our parents that have set before us. We don't want to live up to the image our parents project for us. Sometimes we reject the image of our parents. You see this in your kids. If you have kids, you know it to be true for them. You know it to be true within you. Do you want to live up to the image of your parents, or do you want to reject the image of your parents? Don't answer that, especially if your parents are sitting with you. But for the first humans, the relationship that they had with God was perfect. That was the intention. That was the design. The relationship, the image, the likeness, everything was perfect. They literally communed together, the first humans and God. Genesis chapter 3, we can see that they had some sort of habit of walking with God. God presented in some form or another physically to walk with the garden, in the garden with the humans. And whether or not you believe that to be literally true, the fact remains that God intended for us to have an open relationship with God so we could walk with God through life together. We should literally be walking with God through life together. God's design for our relationship with Him was perfection, full communion with God, nothing between us. In the Garden of Eden, there was a state of perfection. No barriers. But God gave humanity free choice. We know this. Free will, because I think God did not want us to be forced to love Him. So He gives us the choice to love Him. And we know that in Genesis chapter 3, that's when Adam and Eve, the first humans, rejected God. They rejected God. So this is what it says, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Now here's the key to the story. The serpent gives what sounds like a little bit of truth, because deception always comes with just enough truth to make it sound like it's true. That's how we get deceived. So there's a little bit of truth in there. Did God say to not eat of any tree in the garden? Actually, no, He didn't say that. And the woman corrects him, but she goes even further. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" He didn't go that far. God didn't say all that. God didn't say anything about touching it. God's boundary was about consuming it. You can't eat it, but He didn't say anything about not touching it. Eve made the boundary more restrictive than God did. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And then the serpent twists that one more thing. He tells them they will be like God, forgetting that all along they were already created in the likeness of God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. That's Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7. And we're going to talk more about Eve's actual eating of the fruit in a couple weeks when Pastor Mariah comes to talk about consumption. All right? That's going to be the key story there. So I'm going to leave that alone. But God had perfection in mind when we were created. In fact, God called us good. Says that right at the end of chapter 1. Doesn't say just good. He calls it good, good. He's like, that's very good. He had perfection in mind, but then we rejected it. We rejected it. Humans rejected it. So I like these little graphics or graphs that it helps me think through them. and sometimes I'll share them with you. This is what I'm going to share with you. So then this matrix, we have God's design, which is perfection. That's the top, right? That's where it should be, where we ought to be. But at the bottom, on the opposite end of that spectrum of God's design is our disruption. Here's the problem. We create a problem. That we've disrupted that perfected design. We screw it up. We screw it up with our quest for autonomy, trying to do things on our own, trying to become like God rather than being confident in the likeness of God. We disrupt with our heart attitudes, our thoughts that we can do things better than God. And then what we do is we go all the way to actions and we actually outright reject God. So this next side over here, our rejection, we actually put into practice some of the things that we're thinking about on our autonomy. And we say to ourselves, like, well, I can do this better. It starts with a disruption of the heart. But then that angry thought that we have in our heart, the thing becomes the angry thing we say. And the angry thought that we have becomes an angry thing that we do. And then it comes out in our practices and to show our authenticity. I'm just being me. I'm just being my authentic self. I'm just experiencing life to the fullest. Again, we'll talk more about consumption in a couple weeks. There's nothing wrong with having a sense of autonomy and authenticity, but the problem comes when we do it absent from God. We just completely reject what God has designed for us. When we leave the likeness of God behind in order to express ourselves to try and become like God, we can express our own authority, our own autonomy. We don't even need God. We simply reject it. I think we're all in this matrix somewhere, whether we are rejecting God's perfected design through sinful practices, so we just decline it. We're just declining the perfection, like, you can have that. I don't need it. I'm good on my own. I can handle this myself. I actually prefer to do these. We'll never say it out loud, but our practices say that we prefer these sinful activities. It's a lot more fun than not doing them, right? So we just decline perfection. We're just going to go practice our things and reject that perfected design. But then down here, we not only decline it, but sometimes we discard it because not only we don't even want God's perfection, we reject it completely and utterly. I think discarding it's a little deeper because I'm saying not only do I not want it, but I don't want anybody else to have it. And I don't even think it's real. So I am going to be my own person, my own human being. Again, nothing wrong with that unless we're outside of God's design for us. We're telling God, you can keep it, throw it away altogether. Not only do I want it, I don't want it. I don't want anybody else to have it either. But thankfully, God had a plan. God's redemptive promise for us. God has redemption in mind for our story. Here's what Genesis chapter 3. Well, let me say one more thing. Let's go back one more slide. Look how our disruption is in opposition to God's design. So our problems are opposing God's perfection, but our rejection is opposed by God's redemption. Our practices are overcome by the promise of being brought back into full communion with God. Here's Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to me be with me. She gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Let's not blame. Let's not blame. You know, we're going to do that. Then there's seven more verses about the curse for the woman, the man, and the serpent. So like it kind of goes on. I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to get down to verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. I love that part. God provides a way out for them. He gives them the covering they need to hide their shame. Yes, they had to live with the consequences of their action. They got kicked out of the garden. Work got a lot harder for Adam. Childbearing got a lot harder for Eve. They no longer enjoyed that perfected relationship with God. But God gave them the covering of the Lamb. Look, we can have disruption to God's perfect design, and we often do. Put that graphic up there, the next one. We can have that disruption to the perfected design. We often do, but we need to want to get it back. And that's the key that I think a lot of us miss. We don't even want it back. If we don't even know that there is a redemption story for us, we don't even understand that we ought to want to be back into relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to have it. We got to want it. You have to receive the promise of God and the covering of the Lamb. John the Baptist was looking at Jesus, and he's quoted as saying in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God provided a lamb to take away the sin and shame of the first humans, and he has provided the lamb for you and I to take away our sins. Jesus is that lamb. God provided Jesus to restore us back to the right relationship with him. And once we've received the covering Jesus provides for us, for our sin, for our rejection, then God declares us perfected. Now, we might not feel that we're perfect. We had this discussion in our pastor's class recently. Can we actually attain perfection in this life? I'd probably say no. In general, I'd say no. But God declares us perfected. The relationship with God is perfectly restored back to the original design. All we got to do is receive the covering of the Lamb over our lives. Here's the thing. We might not feel perfect in this life. We might even keep on sinning. But God doesn't see us as what we are in the physical sense. What we will be the day we're returned to glory, back when, I can't say back, but in the future, when we get to the point where we're restored in the heavenly kingdom fully, I'm talking about when we die. God sees us as that. Now. He sees all of time at one time. He sees you now perfected in that relationship with him. We've been declared perfected. Just have to receive the covering of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You might not feel perfect. You might bristle at the notion that you could even be declared perfected. But I promise you that God has seen you, and despite all the terrible things you've done and all the good things you haven't done, God has redeemed you. God still made a way to redeem you, to bring you back into that perfected relationship with him. He wants to make the relationship whole. You just have to call on the name of Jesus and be restored. And here's the beautiful part of it. Over here, On our rejection in practice, those first humans, it was represented by the fruit of a tree, the tree of life, right? They ate of the tree of life, which they should have not done. There's a tree on this side that caused humanity to reject the perfect love of the Father. And there's a tree on this side that represents the perfect love of the Father. And Jesus Christ came and he hung on that tree so that we might be restored, that our rejection might be covered, that we might be redeemed back into the full relationship with God. So where are you on the matrix? Where do you kind of sit? Are you living in absolute rejection of what God's done for you? Are you living with autonomy, coming up with your own authority for your own life? Have you just given in to your own problems? Or maybe you just realize you've got problems, you just decline it. Like, I just want to live in this and these sins that I have right now. I'd rather enjoy them, so I'm just going to hang out here. Maybe you're over there. Maybe you're consuming from the wrong tree and expressing your authority and authenticity on that side. Or maybe you're stuck in some problem areas, but you've not quite felt that redemption yet. You know it's there. You're desiring it. You want to be back in relationship with God, but it's just hard to get there. Or maybe you're confident. It's good to be confident. Confident in the good work that God has done in your life, and you recognize, hey, I've got flaws, I've got problems, I've got issues in this life, but God has declared me perfected, redeemed, and useful for His glory. I don't know where you're at on there. I guarantee you everybody in here is in there somewhere. I know that for sure, but I don't know where you individually are. I want to tell you this, wherever you are in that matrix, God has a redemption story for you. God wants to bring you in relationship with Him. Each week of Lent, from now to Palm Sunday, we're going to put into practice something from the message so that we can have an intentional effort to step into the practice of this, to doing something. So we're not on that side of rejection practice, but on a redemption practice. What are we doing that's being redemptive? And in the season of Lent, often people will choose to fast. People who grew up in a more structured religious setting, especially Catholic, might have fasted from meat throughout Lent and fish on Fridays. That's kind of where those things come from. Fasting is to really abstain from the thing that would keep us from realizing the full potential of our relationship with God. So some people choose, like, I'm going to fast from chocolate, social media, you know, things like that. You can do all that stuff. Do it. I encourage you. But what we're going to do is provide you with something to think about within your life that you can fast from. What's one thing that you do in your life that you know is keeping you from living in a taste of perfected relationship with God? What's the one thing? You know right now, if I would probably give up this one thing, I could probably lean into God a little more. I'd say abstain from that. Fast from that. Try it for 1 week. Just give it a shot. 1 week. Next week we'll give you another one. There'll be something different or something to add. You can bring it back if you want it. This is for you. Just give it a shot. Let's see. Adam and Eve hid their authenticity because of shame. What things are you hiding? What's hidden within you? I'll go to that next slide. Our authority and authenticity might be a better word, is taken from us when we're hiding something. They were hiding from God because of their shame. What is it that you're hiding? Maybe abstain from that. Fast from that. Autonomy is about holding on. What's a thing that you're holding on to that you think you can do it better than God can? I've got to control this. And I'm not going to let God dictate what this thing is in my life. So what are you holding on to? Those are two things you can think about. What am I hiding? What am I holding on to? Maybe try to fast from those things this week. Or at least name them. Think about it. Consider it. Name it. Better yet, fast from it. Abstain from it. And just see what God does. Let's see. Why not? What do you got to lose? Giving up one thing this week, give it a shot. All right. Next week, we're going to talk about our relationship with ourselves. Now, That's going to be different than God. But we have to get this one right before we can really have a good, confident, humble nature about ourselves. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for the example set before us with Adam and Eve and the struggles that they went through, our struggles that we go through too. Help us to find hope and meaning and confidence in who we are and who you've created us to be, and allow us to experience a perfectedness in our relationship with you, to experience the fullness of your love, to experience the redemption story that we know you have available for us. Lord, infuse us with your love so we walk out here, yeah, there's things that we probably ought to try harder, practice differently, abstain from, work better at. Guide us in that. Lead us to those practices so that we experience that perfected Eden-style relationship with you. If only for a week, if only for a couple days, may we experience this openness that they had. In Jesus' name, amen.